couple of notices, then I'll introduce Pete. Notices, we need help, specifically in this area here, recording and sorting out what we're doing, because we're putting it on the web. Okay, so we have an intention that we will record the speakers and then, as soon as we can, put it up on the web, so that we've kind of got evidence almost, you know. So if anybody thinks they're a dabber hand at this sort of thing, or even not and wants to learn, can you please either chat to me or Bob, right? Because we need help in that area. So tonight we have Pete. Nothing in August. That's the next one. September, we normally have an open session where the ladies are invited, and we go down to the beach. This year it's going to be here, and we're hosting a charity called Stop the Traffic. So it's in human traffic and that sort of thing. And it'll be here, open session, £7, and we'll be doing pizza and salad. Okay, bring your own booze. Okay, but it's and any monies we get, it will go to Christine Chapman, who is our external giving coordinator, or whatever. And for September, that is our church's external giving charity. Okay, so we're linking with them, and money will go, and then at the end of the month, whatever, it will then be given to the charity. October, we have got my day in court. It's somebody who's not actually being prosecuted, but works with children and if they get their day in court. So he'll be talking about that. November, to the pub. Okay, this is double booked on that Tuesday, and so we'll use the excuse, and on the Thursday we'll go to the pub and we'll sort things out as we get closer towards it. December is Curry and Carols. Saturday. January, a slight change of venue, well, not venue, but timings. We're going to have a men's breakfast. Do you remember that years and years ago? Right, well, that's where Nigel and I came in and ended up with this. And we're going to do a men's breakfast. I think it's the 28th of January, a Saturday morning. So we'll be kind of doing a full English and then a talk from a current police officer who will be talking about some of the crimes, or whatever they're called, he's involved. Right, so we'll have a policeman talking about the inside bits and pieces on that. On a completely different area, I belong to NABFAS, National Association of Decorative and Fine Arts. I know it sounds strange, but yeah, I'm there. And we're all... Yeah. Sorry about the... we're... and I'm on the visit, so we do a visit once a month. In September, we're going to the Morgan Car Factory in Malvern, okay? At the moment, we don't have enough people to make it not viable, break even. So we do need more people, and we can accommodate more, in fact. So it's a two-hour guided tour of the factory with a visit to the museum at the end, which is probably where we'll end up having a look at the speckled hen. Do you know about the speckled hen? Well, I drink a lot of it, but...
Catch one, everybody.
Yeah. And it is on a Thursday. It's Thursday the 15th of September. Cost is £48. And pick up Titchfield or Sarsby Green, 8:15. So it's that sort of timing, yeah. And we get back about 8. All right. So it should be very, very interesting if you're in the cast and that sort of thing, all right. If you're interested, please let me know. We can accommodate... whilst we've got break even at 30, I think we'll have something like a 49-seater coach. So we can accommodate more and more.
15th.
It's me that organised it. I can't remember a thing, you know. So it's the 15th. Thursday the 15th of September, okay? And I think it should be quite interesting if you're into iconic cars and how they're built, etc. Sorry?
It's
alright.
I'm also going deaf as well.
Sue would be welcome as well.
Oh yeah, it's there are ladies involved.
It's more of a four-wheel motorbike.
Well, yes, but you don't have to wear a crash helmet, so that's a. Right, that's all my notices, okay. So this evening we've got Pete Benton, who has been here several times before, and he doesn't get time off for good performance because the other times are very good. He talked about the census, the national census, and also how you spend billions wisely. I'm not sure that any of us really, really accepted that, but, you know, as a civil servant, he had to tell us how they do it. And this evening, he's going to talk about, it's not I'm a Christian, there's a slight communication challenge between Nigel and myself when I asked. It's why I'm a Christian. So, but he's going to start off with a couple of bits and pieces about the census, yeah. I think, to update.
Very good.
So,
RP.
Oh, thank
you. So, Bob's going to record. I've asked him to switch it off for the beginning while I do the bit, say, publicly. So I've been in the red light's still on, Bob. Is it definitely off? So I've got a clicker somewhere. So figures from the last census, thought I'd start there. This says if this is the whole population, the area represents the percentage of people. So 53% of us, 59% said we're Christians, and there's a lot of debate about that. 25% no religion, 7.2% religion not stated, 4.8% Muslim, 1.5% Hindu, 0.8% Sikh, 0.5% Jewish, 0.4% Buddhist, 0.4% other religion. Now, the census religion question is interesting because what do you measure? Are you measuring what people believe? Or are you measuring their affiliation with a religion? Are you measuring their practice of a religion or their identity? And actually, you need different bits of information for different things. And this was defined as a question to measure affiliation, because that's the thing that people will tend to have religious discrimination because of. You know, if you're a Muslim and associated with a Muslim faith, that's why you might be experiencing discrimination, not because particularly of your belief. So the question was designed to measure affiliation. That's why you get a number of 59%. 59% of us say, yeah, I'm affiliated broadly to a Christian country. The point I'm making is that 25% of people said no religion, 75% said I do have a religion, and the list continues. Next on the list is Jedi Knight, 176,000. The list goes on and on and on. Agnostic, spiritualist, Ravadasya. Down the bottom you get to witchcraft, Satanism, own belief system. Over the page, deist, and it carries on down to Confucianist. Anyone know what Confucianist is?
Chinese.
So, you know, 75% of us say we have some kind of religious affiliation. And to me, that's saying, you know, from all my experience, we're not just flesh and blood. There is a spiritual dimension to us. People will express it in different ways and have different experiences, but many people will pray. And a Church of England survey not so long ago had a number like 80% of people say they pray regularly. So something's going on inside us. Moving on. Anyone know who this is?
Freddie Mercury.
I'm going to play you a bit of Queen now. So Freddie Mercury, lead singer of Queen, massive pop group. Do you want 30 seconds or 3 minutes?
30 seconds.
Right, I'll start you off with 30 seconds and you can have the whole thing if you want. So just listen to this. So, two things out of that. The first is fantastic music. I think that was Live Aid, some of it, and you see this whole crowd of people mesmerised by music. And, you know, music, I'm sure for many of you, different types of music, has a huge impact on us, which is another thing that says to me we're deeply spiritual people. But the reason I played that is that's Freddie Mercury, a name known all over the world, got all the money and success life can bring. And what's he singing about? Find me somebody to love. And, you know, you look at him, he's absolutely crying out from the depths of his heart, find me somebody to love, find me somebody to love. To this huge crescendo, and I just love it, it gives me goose pimples. And to me that says something about the human condition. We love to be loved, and we want to love. And it goes to the core of who we are. So, in my view, that is planted in us by God, because God is a God who loves and wants to love us. So if you take no other message away, the heart, I think, of being a Christian is God loves us. We're relational people, and he's desperate to have that kind of relationship with us. Anyone know what that is? Yeah. Yeah. So that is a picture from the Hubble telescope, which is orbiting the Earth, looking into the depths of the universe. I think that is about a 1-inch square shot of the sky. So each one of those isn't a star, it's a galaxy. So in 1 inch of the sky, that's what you see. And that is only as far as Hubble can see, it goes beyond that. Each galaxy contains a billion stars or more. And that's an inch of the sky, so it goes on all around us, further than we can see. Coming from a Big Bang somewhere, 13 billion years ago, something like that. And it's a bit incomprehensible when you actually stand back and say, what's all that? Well, how does Genesis start? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Well, it's come from somewhere. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's a big bang. But if God made it, then he's quite some God. God made the heavens and he made the earth. This is Australia, a beach. My son sent this photo back when he was on his gap year. So God's made the heavens and the earth. And it's beautiful. And then God said, I'm going to make man in my image. And God fashioned a man and said, I will breathe my spirit into him. So God said, there's something different about a man. If in the account of Genesis, there's something different about a man from an animal. It's got God's spirit in, made in God's image. So this is my brother. This is my son. That's my nephew. That's my daughter. And the point I'm showing that is God said, go forth and multiply. So I have. There's my son, there's my daughter, there's my brother and his kids. So he said, go and subdue the earth and rule over it. So we've multiplied, and now we've started subduing the earth. Where's that?
The Thames,
London. Where's that one? San Francisco. And there's Alcatraz sitting in there. Where's that one? Which one? Newcastle. Newcastle. Where's that one? Nope. Close. Ish. Damascus. In Syria. Well, exactly. Good question. So, you know, God has said, go and subdue the earth. That's the mission he's kind of given us in as recorded in Revelation. And to my mind, that's what we've been doing. And it's fabulous. God's made us in his image, and he's created, and he said to us, go create, and that's what we're doing. And anyone know where that one is?
Sydney.
That is Sydney. I was hoping you might get them confused and say Newcastle with Sydney, but everyone's too clever for that. What about this one?
Pardon?
No, that is a photo that I took just a few months ago walking over the Vauxhall Bridge in London. And there are cranes everywhere. That side of me, I could have taken the same picture of the side. There is a building fest going on in London. So, no, we've subdued the earth. We're ruling over it, and we're still going. We're building and building and building. For good or for bad, there's good bits in it, there's bad bits in it. This is another video opportunity. So my son Reuben and I, I'll tell you afterwards. So that's me nearly getting killed by the rocket. But that rocket, we actually made in the shed. And we started from scratch. Just a minute, this is frozen now. There. So we started from scratch. We bought some saltpeter, potassium nitrate, mixed it with corn syrup, which is high sugar content, boiled it all up, and it turns into a kind of putty that you can roll, and when it dries, it goes rock solid. Then we wrap some newspaper around it, sealed the end, stuck a stick in, lit the newspaper, and the whole thing took off. What I haven't showed you is the other 50 that didn't work, but that one I just happened to record and it worked. So we enjoyed ourselves. There's another. Yeah, that's a bit worrying. We did buy it online, so it's kind of, you know, you wonder what's happening. Anyone know what that is? Pardon? No, it's not a total eclipse. Well, it is, but not the one you might think about. What was in the news 6 months ago in terms of space exploration? Distant, far away. Pluto. So that's the recent NASA probe that's, 5 billion miles away and still sending signals back. That's a shot of Pluto with the sun behind it. And the blue is the nitrogen atmosphere. So, you know, me and Reuben make rockets in the shed, but actually, humanity, we've made big rockets and we've gone to Pluto and all kinds of other places. So we're not just subduing the Earth, we're venturing out further. And God has put something in us, in my view, that is curious, wants to adventure. And it's quite incredible what we're capable of. You look at how technology is moving on now. So that's Pluto. That is my son Reuben after the explosives blew up in his face in the shed. So he was mixing it on a Bunsen burner, is how you make it. He got a bit too close, overheated it, and the whole lot went up in his face. That could have been horrible. Actually, it was hilarious when he came in. Honestly, if you've seen Laurel and Hardy with a black face and the singed hair, it's not quite captured there, but that's what he looked like. So, you know, I laughed a lot, and you think, oh my goodness, it could have gone horribly wrong. This, all right, it's probably not funny anymore, but this is a photo I took about 10 years ago coming through Cairo Airport, and I took it because it made me laugh. Excuse the fact that it isn't now funny, but this is a list of things that should be cleared for safety reasons and are prohibited to be accompanied with the passenger or in luggage that are shipped in the airplane cargo hatch. Fuse and exploding stuff. Explosives or exploding devices. Gas containers. Grenade. Fire signal means of all types. Lighter liquid. Explosives and other military requirements. Celebration explosives. Fuel. Petroleum. Fake explosives or exploding devices. Smoke capsules. Demi-capsules. Turpentine and paint distillants. Explosive capsules. Fuses or exploding devices. Other mines and military exploding stuff. And then somewhere it says, exploding stuff, otherwise type of stuff. No, fuse and exploding stuff at the top. It made me chuckle because somebody had obviously struggled with the translation. But actually, you know, we've seen what's happened since going through Cairo Airport. This isn't a joke. Those things that we enjoy, I enjoy, making rockets, can go horribly wrong by accident and hurt my son. Equally, we can use them for destructive purposes. So, Phil, back to your question. Where's that?
Damascus.
That's Damascus. A different bit of it, but utterly shocking when you look at it. And so you see, God has said, you're made in my image, go and subdue the earth, and we have. But somehow in the middle of it, there's something about human nature that's capable of that. Anyone know where that is? Not Sedgemoor, Windover roundabout.
Yeah.
So Burzell and Tesco's just here, Windover Roundabout, Burzell and Road, Hamble Lane, and then this. So this comes back up towards us, doesn't it? If I got it right, other way around. That comes down to us. Somebody must know which goes where. Anyway, it's Windover Roundabout. I was driving around there, coming up from the range, if you know where that is, down from Southampton. Yeah, this one here. Okay. So I was coming up that way, and as I went round the roundabout, I got in the wrong lane. So I was in the lane that was going to go off down the M, down towards the junction 8 of the M27. And I pulled out further right because I knew I wanted to carry on round and go down to Burzelton. And this Range Rover behind me slammed on his horn and obviously crossing me. My wife was sitting next to me and she went like that. And I shouted at my wife, "Leave me alone, you're always having a go at me." And really upset her. And, you know, she wasn't having a go at me. She was just nervous. But that's what came out of me at that point when I was under pressure. And I hurt her. And I don't like it. This. What's that? You probably recognise the type of picture, not where it is. Yeah, so it's a land registry map of an area. Now, this isn't my house, but, you know, this lays out the borders of a housing plot. So one of my neighbours in the past came up to me at one point and said, "Do you know, the boundary of our house isn't here, it's there." And in his view, his garden went down the middle of my garden, and that was the boundary, and he owned half of my garden. And I said, "No, that's mine." And so he went off and said, "Well, I'll find a map." And I said, "Well, I've go and find a map." So I came out half an hour later, said, "There's the map, it's mine." Now, that was in about October, I think. He's in his 70s, and I didn't see him again till April, because it was winter. He stewed on it for 6 months. And I kind of twigged come March, he was probably stewing on it, and I said, "Sorry about that, I didn't handle it very well." And he said, "No, you didn't." You know, he was not happy. And I hadn't handled it well at all. So two examples where I've done something I didn't want to do to my wife, done something I didn't want to do to my neighbour. And look at the grains of that, how different. I'm not by any means saying this is the same, okay, but the motivation that sits behind it, misunderstanding, and I'm cross and that's mine. What's going on in Syria or anywhere else where you see a war zone, people saying that's mine, misunderstandings. You get these pressure cooker environments where people are kind of constrained and oppressed or whatever it might be in whatever country, and it blows up. Now, I'm not at all saying what I do is the same. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes on. But what I am saying is I can see the parallel in my own heart to those things. And actually, one thing that Jesus said was, of course, don't murder, don't commit adultery. But Jesus took it a step further and he said, if you've even been angry with your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. And that's a bit extreme. No, I haven't. I've argued about my building plot. But God says, do you know what? You've got to love each other. My attitude was not loving my neighbour and it wasn't loving my wife. God is absolutely perfect. And his standards are love, love, love. And I've fallen away short. And what Jesus is basically saying is, look, just being angry is a really, really harsh thing. And it matters. It matters to those people. Ah, missed that. Don't go there yet. So I look at myself and I can see there's stuff in me that I don't like. I try not to shout at my wife. I don't do it too often, but sometimes I do. And I wish I didn't. I can be territorial at work, you know. I won't say some of the stuff I might have said at that point. But, you know, I can be territorial about, this is my bit of work. Don't you get involved in that. And other people can do it to me. Now, God actually loves me. Take an even more extreme example. So suppose somebody broke into my house and nicked all my stuff. I wouldn't be very happy. Take it even further. Suppose somebody raped my daughter. I wouldn't be very happy. Suppose somebody murdered my son. I wouldn't be very happy. Quite justifiably, I would be very angry. And there are times in life where, quite justifiably, I've been very angry. And at that point, we will often say, what are you up to, God? Why are you letting this happen? I thought you were supposed to be good. And, you know, in our hearts, we're kind of shouting out, aren't you just? I thought you were supposed to be good and just. And, you know, it's a fair cry. What's going on, God? And, you know, people will say, you know, they've committed murder, so we should hang them. Well, I don't share that view. But nonetheless, people are saying those kind of things are worthy of death. And God says, well, when you're angry, it's the same as you've murdered. So what's going on? Are we deserving of death for those things? Now, God loves me with a passion. And so when people do those things to me, God says, yes, I am angry, Pete. It's not good. So those people that do those things, God agrees with me. It's not good. However, I do the same to them. So supposing I've been upsetting to Phil, and Phil's really angry with me, quite right. And God says to Phil, I agree with you, Phil, it's awful. Well, what's God supposed to do? So the person I've upset might cry out, well, it's not fair, so God should punish me. But wait a minute, God loves me. So do you get what I'm saying? There's this kind of paradox where God is saying, gosh, I love you, Pete, and there should be justice when people hurt you, just like we cry out. But God also says, but Pete, look at yourself. So how does God solve that one when he loves us and there needs to be justice? Now, the next picture, you caught a fleeting glimpse of it, but it's a different perspective on the cross. So there's the cross. And this is from the Mel Gibson film, The Passion of the Christ. And apparently the Pope, when he saw that film, made a comment, that is as it was. So this is Jesus, who's been whipped, beaten, had a crown of thorns stuck on his head and hammered on and nailed to the cross, forced to drag it up the hill. He's pretty beaten up, and this is what he looks like. So what on earth is that all about? Well, if you take that example I was talking about where I'm saying, God, you know, someone's murdered my son, what are you going to do to them? Well, God says the penalty is death. Well, Pete, you got angry at your wife and your neighbour. Well, the penalty is death, because actually to God, they're no different because he is so good. But God doesn't want to punish because he loves us. And so the heart of the Christian faith is the cross, where God says, here's my justice and here's my love. I'll put them together. And rather than punish you, I will punish my son instead. He's a man, never done anything wrong, and I will punish him. And it's not just a man. This is God's son, Jesus, stepped out of heaven to be punished, to reconcile those two problems that God has got of loving us so much and wanting justice. So that's what I've concluded through all of my interpreting what on earth happened to me 25 years ago, understanding those sorts of things. So that's the heart of history 2,000 years ago. Now, what else happened? This is a picture I took on Clapham Junction train station. This is the Samaritans. The Samaritan helped me take control of my life. And the small print says, whatever you've done, whatever life's done to you, call Samaritans. No pressure, no judgment. We're here for you anytime. And to me, that just captured what God now says when he looks at us. Whatever you've done, whatever life's done to you, no pressure, no judgment. I'm here for you anytime. Because all the stuff that has caused the trouble is dealt with and gone. Now that is a beautiful picture. Earthrise, one of the Apollo missions. And so that is the earth rising. In Revelation, what God goes on to say is, I will create a renewed heaven, a new heaven and a new earth. So this is my picture of a new earth, if you like. So the lion will lie down with the lamb. There'll be no more tears. And it's kind of this utopian picture, the fairy tale ending. But actually, that's what Revelation says. I will make a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus has begun that new creation right in the midst of today. He's broken in, defeated death. We're at the beginnings of a new creation. And God says when Jesus comes back, then the whole thing will be renewed and restored. That's my hope. That's what God has put in me. And what God says is, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you want me to, I'll come in and I'll dine with you and make my home with you. So at the very beginning of Genesis, God breathed into the man and he became a living being in God's image. All of that stuff then happened, messing it up, and somehow we got separated from God. God now says, having dealt with all of that mess, I will now come and make my home in you, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now the Hebrew word or Greek word for spirit is the same as the word for breath. So God breathed his life into us at the beginning, and now he says, I'm putting my Holy Spirit in you, my breath, once again. So the order is restored of what God had originally created, and he'll come and live with us. And more than that, he says, you're my sons and my daughters. So in that same intimate way that I love my kids and would do anything for them, God says, I'll do anything for you. I love you. And that's ultimately the offer that God's got. Now back to the beginning. If God made that, and God says, I'm putting my spirit in you and you're my son. Well, if that were true, given that, that would be quite something. And that's where I've got to as over the last 25 years. Thank you. So if you want to stop recording there, Bob.